Welcome to your GCSE Business Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most important topics on your paper, the role of human resources. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode will walk you through everything you need to know, clearly, confidently, and with your exam in mind. Let's get started. So, what exactly is human resources? At its core, the Human Resources Department, or HR for short, is responsible for managing people within a business. Think of it as the engine room of the workforce. HR handles everything from recruiting new staff, to training them, to making sure they're motivated and happy at work, and ensuring the business follows employment law. Without effective HR, even the best business idea can fall apart because the people running it aren't managed well. Examiners love to see candidates connect HR to business performance. Remember, people are often a business's most valuable asset. That's your first key insight. Now let's talk about organizational structures because this comes up a lot. A business's organizational structure shows how it is arranged, who reports to whom, and how decisions are made. There are two main types you need to know: tall structures and flat structures. A tall structure has many levels of management. Think of it like a tall ladder, lots of rungs. This means a narrow span of control, which is the number of people a manager directly supervises. In a tall structure, each manager oversees only a small number of people. The chain of command, the path instructions travel from the top to the bottom, is long. This can slow down communication, but it does mean close supervision of staff. A flat structure, on the other hand, has few levels of management. The span of control is wide, managers oversee many people. Communication is faster because there are fewer layers to pass through. Many modern businesses prefer flat structures because they empower employees and speed up decision-making. Let me give you the key vocabulary you absolutely must know. Span of control. The number of employees directly managed by one person. Chain of command. The line of authority from the top to the bottom of the organization. Delegation. Passing authority and responsibility to someone lower in the hierarchy. Subordinates, employees who work below a manager in the hierarchy. Authority, the power to make decisions. These terms are frequently tested in definition questions worth 2 to 4 marks. Learn them precisely. Now, ways of working. Businesses don't just employ people in one way. You need to know the different types of employment. Full-time workers typically work around 35 to 40 hours per week. Part-time workers work fewer hours, which suits people with other commitments. Flexible working allows employees to vary their hours. This could include flexitime, where staff choose when to start and finish within agreed limits. Temporary workers are employed for a fixed period, perhaps to cover busy seasons. Home working or mobile working means employees work away from a fixed office, which has become much more common since the rise of digital technology. Self-employed workers run their own businesses and are contracted by other businesses for specific tasks. Examiners expect you to evaluate these. For example, flexible working can increase motivation and reduce absenteeism, but it can make it harder to coordinate teams. Let's move on to communication. Effective communication is vital in any business. HR must ensure information flows clearly between managers and employees. Communication methods include face-to-face meetings, emails, video calls, memos, and notice boards. Digital communication has transformed business activity. Emails and instant messaging allow instant contact across the globe. Video conferencing reduces the need for travel, and cloud-based systems let teams collaborate in real time. However, digital communication also brings risks: information overload, cybersecurity threats, and the risk of miscommunication without face-to-face cues. Now, recruitment and selection, this is a big area, so pay close attention. Recruitment is the process of finding and attracting candidates for a job. There are two types, internal and external. Internal recruitment means promoting or transferring someone already working for the business. It's cheaper and quicker, and the person already knows the business culture. However, it creates another vacancy elsewhere and limits fresh ideas coming in. External recruitment means advertising to people outside the business through job boards, recruitment agencies, social media, or the company's own website. It brings in new skills and fresh perspectives, but it's more expensive and time-consuming. Before recruiting, HR must produce 2 key documents. First, the job description. This outlines the duties and responsibilities of the role, what the job involves. Second, the person specification. This describes the skills, qualifications, and experience required of the ideal candidate, what the person needs to have. Examiners frequently ask candidates to distinguish between these two documents. Remember, job description is about the job, person specification is about the person. Selection methods include interviews, the most common method, allowing face-to-face assessment, tests such as aptitude or skills tests assess specific abilities. Assessment centers put candidates through a range of activities to observe their performance. References: check a candidate's background and previous performance. Now let's talk about motivation, why it matters, and how businesses achieve it. Motivated employees work harder, are more productive, provide better customer service, and are less likely to leave the business. High staff turnover, when employees frequently leave, is costly because the business must keep recruiting and training new people. So motivation and retention are closely linked. Financial methods of motivation include pay, the basic wage or salary. Bonuses are extra payments for hitting targets. Profit sharing gives employees a share of the business's profits, making them feel invested in its success. Fringe benefits are non-cash perks like a company car, private healthcare, or a pension scheme. Non-financial methods include praise and recognition. Simply telling an employee they've done a great job can be powerful. Award schemes formally recognize achievement. A positive working environment, comfortable, safe, and friendly, improves morale. Promotion opportunities motivate employees to work hard and develop their skills. Flexible working arrangements, as we discussed, also contribute to job satisfaction. Examiners want you to evaluate these. Financial rewards can be very effective, but some employees are motivated more by recognition and responsibility. The best businesses use a combination of both. Now, training and development. Training gives employees the skills they need to do their current job effectively. Development focuses on preparing employees for future roles and responsibilities. There are two main types of training. On-the-job training happens in the workplace. The employee learns while doing, perhaps, shadowing a colleague or being coached by a manager. It's cost-effective, but the trainer is less productive while teaching. Off-the-job training takes place away from the workplace, at a college, training center, or through an online course. It's delivered by specialists and doesn't disrupt the workplace, but it's more expensive and the employee is away from work. Benefits of training include higher productivity, better quality of work, improved motivation, and reduced mistakes. Staff development benefits both the employee, who gains new skills and career prospects, and the business, which has a more capable, flexible workforce. Finally, employment law. Businesses must operate within the law when managing their workforce. Key areas include discrimination law. The Equality Act, 2010, protects employees from discrimination based on characteristics such as age, gender, race, disability, and religion. Employment contracts. Employees must receive a written statement of employment terms within 2 months of starting work. Holiday entitlement. Full-time workers in the UK are legally entitled to at least 28 days paid holiday per year. Working hours. The working time regulations limit most workers to a maximum of 48 hours per week on average, though individuals can opt out. Minimum wage. The national minimum wage and national living wage set the lowest legal hourly rates businesses must pay. Employment law protects workers but also creates costs and obligations for businesses. Examiners may ask you to evaluate whether employment law benefits or burdens businesses. Always consider both sides. Now, let's talk exam technique and common mistakes. The most common mistake candidates make is describing without analyzing. If a question says explain, you must give a reason or consequence, not just a definition. For example, don't just say internal recruitment is cheaper. Say, internal recruitment is cheaper because the business does not need to pay for external advertising or recruitment agencies, which reduces costs and allows the business to invest money elsewhere. Another common mistake is confusing job descriptions and person specifications. Remember, job description equals the job, person specification equals the person. For evaluate or discuss questions, always consider both sides. For example, if asked whether financial motivation is always the most effective method, argue that it can be highly motivating, especially for lower paid workers, but that non-financial methods such as recognition and flexible working may be more important for employees who already earn a good salary. Command words to watch. State means just give the answer. No explanation needed. Describe means give details. Explain means give a reason or consequence. Analyze means examine in detail, considering causes and effects. Evaluate or justify means weigh up evidence and reach a supported judgment. Time management, spend roughly 1 minute per mark. A 6-mark question should take about 6 minutes. Always plan extended answers before writing. Now for your quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then I'll give it. Question 1. What is the difference between a job description and a person's specification? Job description outlines the duties and responsibilities of the role. Person specification describes the skills and qualifications required of the ideal candidate. Question 2. Name 2 financial methods of motivation. Any 2 from pay, bonuses, profit sharing, fringe benefits. Question 3. What is the span of control? The number of employees directly managed by one person. Question 4. Give one advantage of internal recruitment. Anyone from cheaper, quicker, candidate, knows the business, no need for external advertising. Question 5. Name 1 piece of legislation that protects employees at work. Anyone from Equality Act 2010, Working Time Regulations, National Minimum Wage Act, Employment Rights Act. Well done for working through that quiz. Even if you struggled with some questions, that's the point. Identifying gaps now means you can fill them before the exam. Let's wrap up. The role of human resources is about managing people effectively so the business can achieve its goals. The key themes are structure, how the business is organized, recruitment and selection, finding the right people, motivation and retention, keeping those people engaged and committed, training and development, building their skills, and employment law, operating within legal boundaries. My top 3 exam tips. 1, always apply your knowledge to the business and the question. 2, use business terminology precisely. 3, for any evaluate question, always reach a clear, supported judgment. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck in your exam. See you in the next episode.